The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. By now, many of you have gotten the blockbuster trumpet brief. We don't use that enough for our material. Blockbuster, bombshell. You hear it in media all the time when they come out with their bogus reports. But we truly did send out a bombshell of a trumpet brief last night. My father's TB, Donald Trump, is going to win this election. Hopefully you've had a chance to read that. And through it all, he talks about how things look now. And really, really, even since Saturday evening, the tone is beginning to change. You'll see that as we go through some of our clips and things today. But as I was watching it unfold Saturday night, as I said yesterday, in astonishment at the whole world just going right along with CNN and the AP. As I was watching it, even then, I thought to myself, what will it be like? What's going to be the news? What's going to be the take maybe a week from now? What will it be? What will be in the news cycle just 7 days from this euphoria? They were so excited. They had anointed their king. This was to be Hitler's replacement. Finally, it could return to normal, they thought. Well, my father says, you look at the way things look now, but then consider, what does the Bible say? Like I said yesterday, what about God's take? What about God's position? What about God's time frame? As God's people, I'll just refer you to this verse, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. It says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There is such a thing as faith in God. There is a real spirit world that you can't see with the naked eye. And as God's people, our focus, the ultimate reality in our minds, is the spiritual realm. That is the ultimate. We walk by faith. It says in the very next chapter, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith has nothing to do with what you see in the physical realm. You can read Hebrews 11 and verse 1 too, where it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the evidence of things not seen. See, we make mistakes when we just look for any kind of physical indication. But faith is looking to God. Faith is trusting in God. And there's so many examples of living faith recorded for us in the Holy Bible. You think about Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, God's able to save us. He's able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. And then they went on and said, in faith, even if he doesn't, we're not going to obey these pagan laws of yours. We're not going to bow down to your idols. And so they were thrust into the furnace, and all that they had to take with them was their faith in God. Their faith. Now, as I say, you look at today, even as compared to Saturday night, and already things are beginning to change. You see a lot of Democrats getting a little bit nervous. Bill Kristol, he's a never-Trumper. I read an article by him this morning. He's, he's pretty sure, but just a little bit nervous. Last night, and this happened, by the way, around the time that trumpet brief was sent, to our tens of thousands of subscribers. Even as that was going out, finally you had some movement over at the Department of Justice. Last night, the Attorney General, Bill Barr, he wrote a short memo authorizing federal prosecutors to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification of elections in your jurisdictions. In certain cases, it says, as I have already done in specific instances. So the DOJ, it's moving now. Some would say it's too late or later than it should be, I should say. But they are moving, and this represents a pretty big development. Normally, the DOJ doesn't investigate fraud until after the states have certified the election results. But Barr says, you know, normally fraud doesn't, there's not enough of it to overturn the results. There's always some fraud. But what we suspect here is that it was on a mass scale. That's what he's essentially saying. And so he's authorizing these prosecutors to investigate, as he says, serious allegations. Don't get off into the weeds too much, but if you see something serious, well, you better look into it. This is from his memo. It says, it's imperative that the American people can trust that our elections were conducted in such a way that the outcomes accurately reflect the will of the voters. The U.S. Department of Justice has an obligation to ensure that federal elections are conducted in such a way that the American people can have full confidence. And then this is the money quote. He says, I authorize you to pursue substantial allegations of voting and vote tabulation irregularities prior to the certification. And he stresses that because, as I just noted, that's something that they generally do after the fact. But not this time. Not this time. Further on, it says, nothing here should be taken as an indication that the DOJ has concluded that voting irregularities have impacted the outcome of any election. Rather, I provide the authority and guidance to emphasize the need to timely and appropriately address allegations of voting irregularities so that all of the American people, regardless of their preferred candidate or party, can have full confidence in the results of our elections. Why aren't the media saying this? Why aren't the Democrats saying, look, we want those 71 million Trump voters to have confidence? Joe Biden keeps talking about healing the nation. Well, how are you going to heal the nation if 71 million go into his presidency, his supposed presidency, knowing that it was stolen? So here comes the Attorney General, saying that, look, we need to, at the very least, I can't say if it was stolen or not, but at the very least, America deserves to have full confidence in the results of our elections. Otherwise, the free society, if it's a free society, I mean, it's a total, it just totally breaks down. If you can't trust that the elections are free and fair, right across the board. Well, as I say, usually the DOJ waits until after the outcome, but here they go. And of course, you have a lot of people beginning to show their nervousness, beginning to panic. You heard it even in George Stephanopoulos on Sunday when he was questioning Governor Kristi Noem. I played this clip yesterday. Here's just the last bit from that, clip 7.
So, George, I don't know how widespread it is. I don't know if it'll change the outcome of the election. But why is everybody so scared just to have a fair election and find out?
Yeah, what's the problem? Why is everybody so afraid of just having a fair election? Why are they so scared? Bill Barr, of course, you know, if you're a Trumpet reader, you know we've kept our eyes on him since he became Attorney General just a couple of years ago. This is from my father's article in August 2019. And he says here, on February 14th, William Barr became U.S. Attorney General. He seemed to come from nowhere. And then further on, it says, when you begin to apply the law, as Barr does, lawbreakers get nervous. They get nervous when someone comes, lawbreakers always get nervous when someone comes in upholding the law. Did you ever notice that? If someone comes in representing law and order, well, that's when the criminals begin to get just a little bit scared. It says here, on June 8th, 2018, William Barr sent a 19-page memo to Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein that stunned the Mueller team. This goes back a couple years, but it's from The Trumpet. And my father talks about it being that memo from 2 years ago being a masterpiece in American law. And then he says, I believe God's hand was in it. I believe that God had a hand in Mr. Barr coming along. Somebody had to come in, reverse what the Obama administration had done, and help Jeroboam save Israel. Now, this was, again, discussed in my father's trumpet brief from last night. The Jeroboam end, the Amos 7 time frame, in response to this memo going out, by the way, the head of the election crime branch of the DOJ, this guy's name is Richard Pilger, he resigned immediately in protest. Richard Pilger at the DOJ, he didn't like the fact that Barr sent out this memo last night. And so he resigned. And you know what position he was in? He was the head of the election crime branch of the DOJ. He wasn't happy that the DOJ was looking into all these irregularities. He was upset. He resigned in protest. Who is Richard Pilger, you ask? Well, he's a deep state holdover. He's an Obama appointee. He worked together with Lois Lerner on the IRS scandal. She had to get his help because she was targeting all of these conservative groups. And I think, well, if you scratch beneath the surface, she was getting away with lawless behavior. And so she had to make sure that she had the support of the DOJ, or at least that the DOJ would turn a blind eye to it. So here's Pilger. The memo goes out, and immediately Pilger resigns. If he was really and truly deep state material, you can see why. You can see why nothing much was done over the past week or so. But now Barr goes ahead. With or without Pilger's support, obviously now we know without that support, and the memo goes out, and U.S. attorneys around the nation can investigate into substantial allegations, and with each passing day, more and more is being revealed. And by the way, speaking of Barr and President Trump's administration. Yesterday, he fired Mark Esper. He was the defense secretary. And so it seems like the Trump administration is just moving on, getting rid of some of the people that were slowing things down. The AP says here, the ouster of Esper, the Pentagon chief, was expected by some aides to be the first of several firings by Trump, now freed from having to face voters again, and angry at those in his administration perceived to be insufficiently loyal. This is the AP, of course. Others believed to be vulnerable. Well, he says Chris Wray and so on. But this was the Pentagon chief, by the way, that said, "Look, we're not gonna send troops in if our cities fall apart." And the president says we need to calm this down with the military. Esper said, "No way, we're not gonna do that." And so now he's out. Now he's out. Now Bill Barr is looking into the voting irregularities. This is from my father's trumpet brief yesterday. What can we expect? We may not see it just yet. We're beginning to, though, really. But what can we expect as we walk forward in faith? It says here, the radical left in America have done everything in their power for the last 4 years to discredit and destroy Donald Trump. They have spied. They have lied. They have cheated. They have broken laws, too numerous to count. They have committed treason, trying to depose the duly elected government. And somehow President Trump has weathered all those storms. It says here, what the left is doing now, all this theater aimed at bullying people into accepting Joe Biden as president, is more of the same. It should come as no surprise. We shouldn't be surprised by this. Another biblical principle that we can draw on as we see all of this, as we observe all of this, is to look at the fruits. All of these same people who tried for 4 years to overturn the results of 2016 now say that after 5 days, we'll just accept the results. Well, what about all these irregularities? It doesn't matter. We have declared him to be the president. The same people. It says here, but the election has not been decided. This is my father's piece. He says, and I'm certain, listen to this, I'm certain you're about to see some of the biggest frauds exposed, perhaps ever. It's the same point my father's made previous to this, that the more and more they go after the president, they attack the president, the more and more their own lawlessness is being revealed and uncovered. It doesn't mean a lot of them have gone to jail. I don't think any of them have. And my father touches on that point as well. But that said, God has exposed this great evil. We're in the Amos 7 time frame. And as I even touched on yesterday in the show, it's the same people, these same people that orchestrated one coup attempt after another. Now here's this is their final move to kick the man they hate out of office and to replace him with Joe Biden. And really what the president's going up against most is the news media. I watched the entire press briefing yesterday with Kayleigh McEnany and then a couple of leaders in the Republican Party. And it was just unbelievable as they presented evidence. They keep saying that the reporters, there's no evidence. So they present the evidence. And then at the end, all of these reporters just shouting at Kayleigh, where's the evidence? Is he a sore? Isn't this just sour grapes? Isn't the president just a sore loser? How come he's not conceding? This is the media. May, June, 2020. This is in the Trumpet. My father says, now many of the same journalists who swooned over Barack Obama view everything President Trump does as proof of corruption and evil. The same people who conspicuously overlooked wrongdoing by the Obama administration are now manufacturing criminal accusations against the Trump administration. They are continually exposing their own rank bias and utter blindness. We must be concerned about this, my father says. Without a free and truthful media, the republic cannot survive. Look at how much damage they're causing. They're no longer free and truthful. They're held captive by the devil and his influence. And they are spewing lies every day. It says radical Democrats are demonstrating that there is virtually no limit to what they will do to attack the president and undermine the last election and the next one. This was written back in 2020. Sorry, I should say this is 2020. May of 2020. This was months before the election. Listen to what my father says. Representative Schiff, Adam Schiff, even suggested during the impeachment hearings that President Trump might offer Alaska to the Russians in exchange for support in the next presidential election. You remember this? Yeah, Schiff, he'd get some of this testimony. This goes back even before the Alaska comment. Remember when he'd come out of the basement and say, oh, we've got the goods. We're listening to this private testimony, and I tell you what, there is evidence. And he never presented any evidence. And where were the reporters shutting him down? Say, wait a second now. We're going to have to cut away from this briefing by Adam Schiff. He doesn't have any evidence. That's the new thing now. That's the new thing. Started with President Trump last Thursday. Every single major reporter, excepting Fox News, they cut out of his briefing. Said, hey, we've got to do this because he's lying to you. Well, yesterday, Fox News joined with the radical left to shut down evidence, to censor it. They don't want you to see it. Offer Alaska to the Russians. As my father said, what is this man talking about? What is he talking about? The lies, the nonstop lies. And were the media, were they shutting down Schiff during the sham impeachment? Not at all. They gave him a nice platform to speak from. They amplified his lies. Yesterday, as I say, Kayleigh McEnany, she comes out with two reps from the Republican Party to talk about the voter irregularities. Here's how she introduced the briefing, clip one.
This election is not over. Far from it. We have only begun the process of obtaining an accurate, honest vote count.
We've only begun the process. Remember, they said last week, we got to be patient. Now they don't want patience. Patience was the cry last week. Now it's hurry, hurry, hurry. We've got to make it final. There can be no resistance. There can be no dissenting opinions. This is signed, sealed, delivered. Well, the Trump administration is saying, not a chance. This is only just beginning. This election is far from over. Now, she gets a couple of minutes into the briefing. The briefing only goes on for 20 minutes. Kayleigh's comments only go on for 5 or 6 minutes. This is Fox News covering the briefing. They bring her on for maybe 30, 40 seconds, and then listen to Neil Cavuto. He's the anchor in the mid-afternoon portion of the day on Fox News. Listen to Neil Cavuto butt in and say, that's enough. We can't listen to her anymore. Here's clip two.
One party in America that opposes verifying signatures, citizenship, residency, eligibility. There is only one party in America trying to keep observers out of the count room. And that party, my friends, is the Democrat Party. You don't take these positions because you want an honest election. You don't oppose an audit of the vote because you want an accurate count. You don't oppose our efforts at sunlight and transparency because you have nothing to hide. You take these positions because you are welcoming fraud and you are welcoming illegal voting. Our position is clear. We want to protect the franchise of the American people. We want an honest, accurate, lawful count. We want maximum sunlight. We want maximum transparency. We want every legal vote to be counted, and we want every illegal vote to be...
Well, I just think we have to be very clear. She's charging, the other side is welcoming fraud and welcoming illegal voting. Unless she has more details to back that up, I can't in good countenance continue showing you this.
That's Neil Cavuto on Fox. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Anything illegal? We can't let her say that. She says at the start, this is our position, and we can't even hear it, I guess. We can't even hear it. This is the type of openly blatant censorship that's now the new normal for the major media, and Fox News is joining them. Fox News is part of the conspiracy now. Except there are a few commentators at night and in the early morning. And that's it. They're in on the coup. Whoa, 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 whoa. Where is your evidence? I timed it. She's there with two other Republican reps. And exactly 8 minutes later, McEnany's giving the overview, okay? And 8 minutes later, the GOP chairwoman, Ronna McDaniel, she gets up and she's just talking about Michigan. She's from Michigan. Here she is, talking about the Michigan irregularities. Clip three.
But Michigan is my home state. And in the county, Wayne County, Republican poll watchers were denied their legal right to monitor the election and purposely kept in the dark. There are thousands of reports of poll watchers being intimidated and unable to do their job. And as of 4 p.m. this afternoon, 131 affidavits have been completed just in Michigan, with over 2,800 incident reports that have been submitted to us since Election Day. Two new lawsuits were filed today by people who were working in Detroit, and a whistleblower who has gotten their information. We have gotten their information to the Eastern District Court of Michigan. But I will just tell you the distress that I'm hearing in my state from people who were at TCF and the way they were treated is deeply alarming. I hope you go and look at this.
She's talking to press reporters there. She's talking to journalists saying, I hope that you'll go look at this. Look at what? 131 affidavits. That's sworn statements under the risk of perjury if you're caught lying. 131 statements having to do with 2,800 incident reports of voter irregularities. This was stated 8 minutes after Cavuto cut off Kayleigh McEnany. Just 8 minutes later, there's two lawsuits up and running. There's a whistleblower that's come forward. There's two more whistleblowers in Pennsylvania. One of them's identified himself. And he voted for Biden, by the way. He says, my superior at the Postal Service told me to backdate these Biden votes. I mean, that's serious. Serious, serious charges. You mean 131 people are coming forward with sworn affidavits, knowing that if they're guilty of perjury, they're going to jail? Evidently, that's what quite a few people are willing to do now. And we're just in the opening day or two. What will it be like? You had the victory parades on Saturday night. What are we going to be thinking about or seeing on the news next Saturday? Well, even if it's totally different, you can be sure that it's going to be fake. But still, if they want evidence, but the thing of it is, for Cavuto to cut her off, it's not that she doesn't have the evidence. It's that he doesn't want to see the evidence. He doesn't want them to talk about the evidence. He does not want the evidence to be discussed on the airwaves openly. It's CNN, it's MSNBC, it's ABC, CBS, NBC, and now Fox News. Well, Fox, as I said, has a few decent commentators. They have this Jonathan Turley on from time to time. Just to come back to this point about, you know, this is Tuesday. This is the second working day following this ridiculous declaration by all in the media after no states have even certified the results of the election. And yet they have decided, they have issued their decree. Listen to Jonathan Turley on Fox as he explained, the evidence that people are seeking, the process that goes into the counting and then the canvassing after the fact. Here's clip 8.
But having said that, in fairness to the Trump campaign, we wouldn't necessarily have that evidence at this point. We're now moving from the tabulation stage to the canvassing stage, and that's when you probably would see more systemic problems. Also, this evidence is held by election officials, so it often requires a court to get access to that information.
Mm-hmm. So when you go from the tabulation stage to the canvassing stage, it's in the canvassing. When you go back and, you know, you're certifying the count, you're auditing the account. In some cases, you're recounting things like you're going to do in Wisconsin and Georgia. That's when you'll notice or find the evidence. They got right to the end of the tabulation stage, and the tabulation stage isn't even over. Look at Alaska. Look at Arizona. Look at Georgia. Look at North Carolina. It's not even over, but they called it. They called it. They gave their projection. And everyone all over the world, all over the Western world, accepted it as final. What a spectacle. Here's Turley explaining what the difference is between the tabulation stage and the canvassing stage, clip 9.
The stages really are the voting or balloting, tabulation, which is the counting of the votes. That's a stage that we're still actually in. Then canvassing, where they go back to all these districts, they confirm the vote counts, and they present them for the final stage of certification, where you take these votes, they're certified and given as part of the Electoral College, ultimately to Congress. Challenges can go all the way through the certification stage. But one thing I thought was just sort of curious is that within 24 hours, you had legal analysts saying there's no evidence here of systemic fraud. And it seemed just rather forced, since there's no evidence at all yet. I mean, we have to see what these filings say.
Within 24 hours, as he's saying there. Well, there's no evidence. There's no evidence. Just put the final seal on it. Everything's done. They don't want to see the evidence. They don't want this to be investigated. They are unwilling. They're unwilling to research into this. And so Ronna McDaniel, she's there yesterday. Kayleigh McEnany, they're there saying, look, we're up here asking the questions you people ought to be asking. We're out there getting the affidavits that you people ought to be out there getting. You're investigative reporters, some of you. Here again is Kayleigh McEnany from yesterday, clip four.
So I am asking the media, interview these people, talk to these people. Do not just dismiss these allegations out of hand, these irregularities. Go research it.
Well, that's Ronna McDaniel, not Kayleigh. But she's telling the reporters, go and research this. Go and look into this. But they won't do it because they have decided. They have decided. And like I said on yesterday's program, it's a power struggle between big media, big tech, all of them, and the ordinary American people. Which side determines the results of the election? Well, the New York Times tweeted it out a week ago. We decide, they said. Notice this slip yesterday on Fox News. This is, again, is one of the daytime anchors, Sandra Smith. She's on with Trace Gallagher. Trace is interviewing a few other people, and Sandra doesn't know that her mic is still on. Listen to her reaction when one of the people being interviewed says that it's not Fox News that determines who the president is. Clip five.
Remember, just because CNN says, or even Fox News says that somebody's president, doesn't make them president. So I think everybody wants to know that this was done properly and legally.
What is happening? Trace, we've called it.
She doesn't know her mic is on. She says, what? What? That woman just said Fox News doesn't decide who the president is. What? Trace, we've already decided this. This woman's crazy. Fox News has joined in on the conspiracy. They're in on the coup. We saw it on election night when they called Arizona. Every other outlet still hasn't called Arizona. Fox News is holding it to its projection. We're going to go back one of these days and just look at the 7, 8, 9 hours of election night coverage. Because I'm itching to put together a timeline to see when Fox made their call on Arizona, to see when all of the votes or the counting stopped, to see how long it took for them to call Florida and Ohio, and how big the percentage was, the lead for president in both those states, to see what happened then in the deep of the night when everyone went to bed and all the counting had stopped, and then the cars and trucks that showed up with bundles of Biden-only votes. Well, Fox, this is from the National Pulse. Last Friday's ratings for the supposedly conservative outlet were less than both CNN and MSNBC for the first time in years. The ratings at Fox News, they're cratering right now as people are furious. Furious. One of the Murdoch wives, as I said yesterday, we did it. We got rid of Trump. He's lost the New York Post. And now Fox News as well. None of them want to see the evidence. None of them want this researched or investigated. Listen to this from Lindsey Graham. He's a senator in Congress. Clip six.
We're now finding potentially that 25,000 nursing home residents in different nursing homes requested mail-in ballots at the exact same time. You can't ballot harvest in Pennsylvania. What are the odds that 25,000 people in different locations of the same age group requested at the same time a ballot? Somebody is up to no good in these nursing homes.
25,000 nursing home residents in Pennsylvania requesting ballots at the same time. Wait until they find out that because of Governor Wolf's COVID policies, half of those voters are probably dead. We talked about that some yesterday. All of these dead people rising from the grave to vote for Biden. This is just the tip of the iceberg. As I said, it's just Tuesday. What will we know? What more will we know about Michigan, about Pennsylvania, as more and more people come forward to sign affidavits, as more and more whistleblowers come forward? Margo Cleveland at The Federalist, she had an article, yes, there was election fraud. The question is, how much? Yes, there was election fraud. Of course there was. The question is it on a scale that actually reversed the outcome of a major U.S. presidential election? That's what's to be determined in the next several weeks. Listen to this Georgia election official, Gabriel Sterling, at a press conference just yesterday, clip 18.
Now, let me be perfectly clear on another point. We are going to find that people did illegally vote. That's going to happen. There are going to be double voters. There are going to be people who did not have the qualifications of a registered voter to vote in this state. That will be found. Is it 10,353? Unlikely.
I think he's a Republican. I know the Secretary of State is Republican. The governor's Republican. They're going to have to recount. There's a 0.2% difference between Biden and Trump in the state of Georgia. And there's the election official himself saying, we are going to find voter fraud. We're going to find it. And is it enough to change 10,353 votes? That's all that separates Biden and Trump. He says it's unlikely. It's probably not. Well, we'll see. This is from Breitbart, John Nolte. He says, Joe Biden is not president-elect. Joe Biden has not won the 2020 presidential election. Donald Trump's re-election has not been defeated. Right now, Joe Biden is merely ahead on the count of enough states to win the presidency. But this is a contested election, and we have a long way to go. Just like Kaylee said, we have a long way to go, probably more than a month, and a plethora of legal filings before the winner is declared. He goes on and says it's the people, it's the Electoral College, it's all these things that determine the winner. It says here, the fake news media, of course, the corporate media, the same corporate or rather corrupt media that told us to be patient if Election Day lasted weeks, now wants us to forget all that. They want us to close the book on the election before it's been audited. They want us to believe unelected liars who sit in anchor chairs have the legal authority to declare Joe Biden president-elect. See, they just want us to move on. Don't ask any questions. The media, those liars in those media chairs, they have decided. You know, what's interesting, too, is as I was thinking this morning on some of these stories, Joe Biden, what was the advice his handlers were giving to him even the day before? His campaign manager. And then, of course, we played the clip for you from Hillary Clinton a month or two before the election. They said, under no circumstances should you concede. This could go on for weeks, maybe months. And now they're saying, well, what President Trump is doing is damaging democracy because he won't concede. They're applying all of this intense pressure, as I said yesterday, because they don't want it to be investigated. They don't want anybody looking into these many, many allegations of irregularities. Says here, this is Nolte's article. Well, they don't. And the state legislatures, the district and Supreme Courts would be doing the country a great disservice if they allowed themselves to be gaslighted into believing this election is over. They must ignore the corrupt media and do their duty. Now, that's hard to do. It's hard to do. But when they've been wrong over and over again, you would think it'd be a little bit easier to ignore the media, to ignore what's coming out of CNN, and to instead do their constitutional duty. It says here, the bottom line is that the media want this election shut down before anyone has a chance to look into what happened, before anyone has a chance to even see if Biden did indeed win fair and square. Nolte says, I think it goes without saying that if the shoe were on the other foot, the media would be preaching for patience, as they originally told us deplorables to do. However this comes out, let's be sure to remember that the media had no interest in looking into voting irregularities and vote fraud, had no interest in looking into potential software glitches and fraud, and had no interest in valid recounts. It says, no, it's worse than that. The media are actively trying to block a fair and impartial look at what happened on election night, actively looking to suppress and dismiss evidence even before it's presented, aggressively trying to shut down investigations, aggressively trying to stop even run-of-the-mill recounts and re-canvasses. The media, Nolte says, are un-American, evil, and terrified of what might be uncovered. They're afraid. They're afraid. What did Kristi Noem say? I don't understand why everybody's so scared here. I don't know if it'll turn over the election or not, but what are we afraid of? Don't we want to, above all, wouldn't the media want the truth? Well, in fact, they don't. They're trying to suppress the truth. Just like it says in Romans 1, they want to suppress the truth. They want to bury the truth. At the American Thinker yesterday, it said, this thing is not only not over, it is scary for Biden. I mean, really scary. And most of all, the media know it. They know it. They know that the more you investigate into Georgia, what happened in these Democrat machines in Atlanta and Philadelphia and Pittsburgh and Detroit and Milwaukee, they know that the more you look into it, the more foul play will be discovered. Everyone knows it happens. The question is how much and on what scale. Over at Real Clear Politics, someone pointed out last night that they rescinded their call for Biden winning Pennsylvania. This is from Real Clear. It says its live results feed withdrew Joe Biden's president-elect status Monday night after stripping him of Pennsylvania's 20 electoral votes. RCP reversed Biden's win in Pennsylvania, bringing him back down below the 270 threshold to 259 electoral votes. So he's back in the estimation of RCP. He's back under the threshold. How much longer before many others in the media will begin to, in an effort to cover their tracks, how many of them will begin to ever so slightly backtrack just a little bit, even as the evidence that they're trying to suppress begins to come in? When we come back, we'll conclude today's program with a few emails that have come in recent days. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury. The world is hopelessly confused about Bible history and prophecy. Understanding the Daniel 2 image could clear up most of that confusion. The Daniel 2 image gives an overview of history and prophecy like nothing else in the Bible. The Bible is a masterful work that should be studied in its entirety. The book of Daniel and the images described therein actually unlock the meaning of the prophecies in the book of Revelation. Our free booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, explains the incredible prophecies contained in these two books. studied alongside your Bible, this booklet, Daniel Unlocks Revelation, will bring the history and prophecy of your Bible to life. Request your free copy today. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry.
Just a few emails here to finish with today. One here says, it's truly a blessing how God has inspired your dad to give the bigger picture with the election madness, putting the pieces together for us, and how the same thing happened in the court case, using sermons, your shows, and articles, plus other things as well. I'm sure it has helped to put a lot of people at ease and not to be worried what is to come with all of this. It has me. Who could have known? That's from one of our listeners. Another one here says, brilliant program this morning. This is referring to yesterday, most of these. It's going to be interesting, an interesting few weeks between now and January 16th. It's going to be exciting to see how God works it all out. Another one here writes, thanks for an excellent program this morning. The extreme pressure that Satan and his demons are exerting is certainly being felt by us all. We need to rely on God's sure word of prophecy more than ever now. Can you imagine how bad it's going to get as we go deeper into the Jeroboam end, as we know it plays out? It says, my wife and I listened to Mr. Biden on Saturday night. At one point, he said, we're the good angels. We just looked at each other in astonishment. As you stated today, they have come as angels of light with their deception. That's from Florida. Another listener writes, hello again, and thanks for your continued excellence with your program. I'd like to share a quick thought with you from this evening after listening to today's TDR. It says, I am rereading Raising the Ruins, and over the weekend, I thought about commenting on the similarities between the liberals' takeover of the Worldwide Church of God in the 1980s and the current Marxist takeover, as of today, of a rigged American election. All weekend, I kept shaking my head, thinking how eerie it is to be reading something that is actually happening today in our country. Changes? What changes? Plausible deniability. Yikes. I'm grateful to you and the Trumpet and the PCG and to all those who contribute to giving me and others understanding of God's word. Another one here says, we've been listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show while we eat breakfast and watching how the Democrats have so pulled the wool over America's eyes. I've been struggling to figure out how could so many normally intelligent and thinking Americans get so duped? Even when Mr. Biden would tell them that he would raise their taxes, that they have the biggest voting fraud machine in history, etc., they wouldn't believe what he said. I can't help but think back to the WCG days when God sent strong delusion so that they might believe the lie. It says it takes me back to 1993 when I was reading the Doctrinal Changes booklet. I would say out loud, they did what? They did what? They did what? And yet so few believed that they were doing what they actually said they were doing. It's deja vu, except on a grander scale. It says, they tried to accuse President Trump of Russian collusion. Indeed, what we have now is media collusion. It is incomprehensible that members of the press cut off our president because they think he is telling lies. How dare them? I'm so thankful that God has been pointing us to the government from above. Can't wait for that day. Another one here says, today's broadcast was one of the best this year, red hot. I listened to Stephen Flurry's introduction twice. The audio from Trumpet Editor-in-Chief, Mr. Gerald Flurry, will prove dramatically prescient in the weeks to come. I hope listeners will realize this isn't about politics, it's about prophecy. It is about much more than exposing political corruption. It's about exposing an adversary who's just getting warmed up. And God wants us to see it clearly, so we will respond. says here, thanks to all the staff behind the scenes for the news research and compilations of audio and video. This episode demonstrates that everyone is on their game. Nice comment there from Missouri. And then lastly, this comes from Australia, and she writes, I have finally finished it. Just yesterday, I sent in test 9 of the correspondence course electronically and got one of the most satisfying messages back that I have ever received in my entire life. Course progress completed. I was so excited to have completed it at last that I just have to share it. She says, my experience with the correspondence course has been phenomenal. Some of you listeners, by the way, will remember that this is something I was really encouraging a lot of people to do earlier this year, to sit down, take the time out of your day to actually write out those lessons and all those beautiful scriptures. She says here, this phenomenal experience, I now see my Bible as an old friend. Having written out many passages again and again, my scripture memorization is stronger than ever, which has helped me a lot in formulating responses to worldly coworkers and to general life challenges. I was reminded of a forum you gave at college early on in my Armstrong College career about being addicted to the Word of God. There were many times I was addicted during my time completing this course. Some days I just didn't want to stop, and once even finished a whole lesson in one Sabbath when we were stuck at home during the lockdown here in Australia. It says, finally, overall, the course has really impressed on me how to really become grounded in the Word of God. And it always makes me sad when you point out that programs offering the Bible Correspondence Course often have lower ratings and responses, because I have seen firsthand just how amazing it can be for your spiritual life. I hope and pray everyone can persevere and make it through this course, because it really will change your life. Thank you again for all the hard work you and the whole team do. That's a very positive response coming in from Australia regarding the Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. If you'd like to submit feedback, you can email us at td@kpcg.fm. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.